Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Thursday, December 7th. Coming up in just a few minutes, an in-depth look at the series The Black Church. This is our story, this is our song. We'll hear from one of the directors and producers of the series about the Black Church's influence on Black culture today. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. It appears highly likely Illinois will miss its 2025 goals for decreasing nutrient pollution into state waterways. That's according to the latest Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy report. Nitrate and phosphorus pollution remains well above the state's baseline. Megan Baskerville is the Illinois Ag Program Director at the Nature Conservancy.
But we're also just not seeing the adoption of practices needed in the non-pulling or agricultural sector to attain those goals.
Baskerville says tougher environmental regulations have successfully reduced discharges from wastewater treatment plants, but agriculture nutrient runoff reduction programs remain strictly voluntary. There is a $60 million statewide unfunded application backlog for government farming conservation programs. Planners of next year's Democratic National Convention are casting a wide net as they look for diverse vendors and contractors. Alex Degman reports.
Working with organizations such as the Chicago and Springfield Urban Leagues, the DNC's newly formed Business Diversity Advisory Council starts meeting next week. They'll discuss, among other things, diversity hiring goals and barriers businesses might face while trying to get DNC business. Christy George, the host committee's executive director, says it's crucial to work with Chicago and statewide groups.
We think it's critical to have their voices at the table. Of course, I think, you know, they're similar, perspectives, but they are not the same, and they all have a diversity of thought, and it's important to have their voices heard at the table.
The Democratic National Convention will be August 19th through the 22nd at the United Center and McCormick Place. I'm Alex Degman.
The Akikiki is a bird native only to the island of Kauai in Hawaii, and conservationists say there are fewer than five left in the wild. IPM's Owen Henderson spoke to one Illinois researcher who was helping to preserve the species as it nears extinction.
Maria Costantini is a postdoctoral research associate with the Illinois Natural History Survey. Because of her previous study of the Akikiki and experience catching them, she was brought to the island to help locate the final specimens and add them to the captive population. Now she's back in Illinois and says she can't focus too much on the plight of the birds for her own sake.
It's my favorite species, the Akikiki. I'm very attached to them. So like seeing them going extinct and not having any way to help has been very tough.
The Akikiki's rapid decline in recent years is due to the spread of avian malaria by mosquitoes. The insects aren't native to Hawaii and have been spreading into the bird's small habitat because of warming temperatures caused by climate change. I'm Owen Henderson.
Still to come, an in-depth look at an episode of The Black Church. This is our story. This is our song. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on The 21st Show, a recent novel explores racism, feminism, and history through the eyes of a Portuguese immigrant and many others who made their homes in Springfield in the 19th and early 20th centuries. The book is called The House of Lincoln. I'm Brian Mackey in conversation with author Nancy Horan next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The series The Black Church, This Is Our Story, This Is Our Song, explores how the Black Church has served as a nurturing ground for the major institutions that helped define Black America for centuries. On December 15th, Illinois Public Media will host an episode of the series at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. Illinois Public Media's Director of Community Content and Social Engagement, Kimberly Cronick, spoke with Shayla Harris, one of the directors and producers of the series, about the episode and the Black Church's influence on Black culture today.
So welcome to Illinois Public Media.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me why being part of this particular series, but this also episode, was so important to you.
I'm one of the producers and directors of the Black Church, This Is Our Story, This Is Our Song. And it's a four-part series exploring the history of the Black church in America with hosted by Henry Louis Gates. And if you're a fan of Finding Your Roots or any kind of PBS programming, you definitely know who Dr. Henry Louis Gates is. And so any opportunity to work closely with him was something that I wanted to do immediately. So this was an incredible opportunity. I've done a lot of journalism and documentary production over my career. And a lot of the subjects that I'm really interested in are questions around religion and questions around faith. And so I have never done anything on the history of the Black church. I was raised Catholic, so I don't have the typical sort of Black church experience. So for me, this was an opportunity to tell a story from a sort of insider outsider perspective. Like, I grew up Black in America, obviously, and have a lot of understanding of American history, but certainly this subject was slightly new to me. So the ability to learn a little bit more about that history and delve a little bit deeper was really exciting for me.
So this is kind of, you learned along the way as well as having your own experience.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those stories that you think you know. I think a lot of people think when you talk about the Black church, people are like, oh yeah, MLK, the civil rights movement. But we sort of really go back to 1619, you know, really the first time that African Americans like came to this country and the impact that they had on the faith during slavery and through emancipation and through Jim Crow and through the civil rights movement. And so by the time you get to the 50s and 60s, there's hundreds of years of history that you're like, oh, now it makes it so obvious why the church was so central to that political movement. And so I think it's really important for us to be able to share that context and background with people so that they understood that that didn't come out of nowhere, you know, that this is a long legacy within the Black church.
What would you like people to come away with when you think about this particular episode of the Black church?
This episode in particular looks at the church as it emerges out of emancipation and really starts to become the sort of political, social, and economic heart of the African-American community. And a lot of the things that we see emerging in terms of political leaders that came out of the church, the role of women expanding in the church that we see sort of playing out really heavily in the 20th century in the civil rights movement, in figures like Senator Raphael Warnock, who's a pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, the church of Martin Luther King, really find their origin story in this era.
Did you learn a lot about women at this time in the Black church? And what was the most interesting thing or even the most thing that made you most angry, if there was such a moment?
So the women's era is a really, it emerges right after emancipation. And it's really where African-American women realize that even though they aren't in the pulpit, aren't leading churches as maybe preachers and aren't ordained in sort of this official capacity, they have a lot of power in the church. They make up probably 80% of the people in the pews. And so they really start to leverage that power in this era where they're raising money, they're organizing, they're building schools, creating their own political organizations. And they're really the backbone of the church, even if they don't have power in the pulpit. And that was really surprising to me. I didn't really know that much about this era. And it just goes to show you that just because you don't have the power in any official capacity doesn't mean that they aren't really running things, which I thought was really incredible and really, really surprising. And so we'll see how African-American women really, really start to emerge in this moment.
When I watch the series, it's unvarnished and there's a lot of violence.
Yeah.
How would you address someone that said, this is too much, or do we do a trigger warning? You
know, right.
How would you grapple with that as a director producer?
One of the most difficult things, I think, about working on this series, and especially on this particular episode, since it centers around this period after slavery and of the violence around Jim Crow and Reconstruction, is the role of telling the story of that violence and how the church is the center of a lot of these attacks. It's really tough. I think as a filmmaker, you don't want to glorify or revel in violence against Black bodies. But I also think it's important to show what these churches and people were up against and the sense of their determination to kind of resist that level of oppression. And I think to me, one of the most beautiful stories in this episode is about the rebuilding of Mother Emanuel, which I think ends up having a different story in the 20th century, but is really a triumphant story about emerging from the ashes of a church burning and attacks against the Black church and became the center of the Black community in Charleston. So there is this sort of blessing and curse part of the violence against the Black church in this era, but I think it's really important context.
I'm wondering if either you or Dr. Gates or someone on your team were thinking about Emmett Till's mother and how she dealt with that horrendous murder of her son.
There are a lot of echoes in the story about how to talk about violence and how to respond to racially motivated violence. You know, we see it in the way that Mamie Till Mobley, Emmett Till's mother, responds to his unfortunate death of her child in this horrifying way and uses it to kind of rally people during the civil rights era. We also see it in the response to the killing of 9 parishioners at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston in the 21st century. You know, there is this really horrifying attack on a Black church, on people in a Bible study, by a white supremacist. And there is a really beautiful moment of forgiveness that comes from the victims of that attack, but also this sort of pulling together where Barack Obama sings Amazing Grace at this funeral that just brings people together. So I think that there are a lot of ways that the African-American community has responded to this violence, whether that's it's a unifying thing or it's a rallying thing, that I think is really important for people to understand.
Why is this episode that takes place in the late 19th century relevant today in the 21st century?
I think there are so many echoes of our contemporary history right now in terms of where the United States is and in its relationship to its racial history and past. But also, I think in terms of the concerns and controversies around the Black church itself, there are a lot of things that we see in this era that we also see repeated in our contemporary era. And I think it's really helpful and useful for audiences to understand that history.
That was IPM's Kimberly Cronick speaking with director and producer Shayla Harris about the episode of The Black Church, This Is Our Story, This Is Our Song. The episode is showing on Friday, December 15th at 7 p.m. at the Virginia Theater in Champaign and will be followed by a panel discussion. This is a free event. No tickets are required. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 55 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Tim Shelley, Alex Degman, Owen Henderson, and Kimberly Cronick. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.